better get ready.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, everybody. It's kind of awesome. Ah! Real talk.
Wow.
Muscle. And this program is sponsored by People Be Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for the solid foundation to stand on and the vehicle with the steering wheel on the other side of the road to drive your goals, check us out. Like what, Dez? Give me that. Give me that.
Like a Mack truck through ice cream. I feel like I'm in Braveheart tonight and not Australia.
Check us out at peoplebemuscle.com. And now, before we talk,
Sweet Desiree.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. So, hey, everybody, happy Thursday. Thanks for thanks for joining us, and thank you, Kaylin, for that little serenade. So what Kaylin is referencing is that I was at the Neil Diamond. I was at a Neil Diamond conference last night, concert, and it was a packed house, guys. Let me tell you, packed. I'm pretty sure it was sold out. I did not see an empty seat in the house. And what is so amazing to me is this man is 76 years old. 76, still selling out, and he's not playing little itty-bitty venues. He's playing big venues, and he sounds amazing. He moves a little slower across the stage, but his voice sounds just like when he was younger. Amazing. So it was a good concert. It was a good concert. How have you been doing, Kaylin? Are you ready? Are you getting ready for the NGA USA Championship coming up next month, June 24th? How's prep going?
It's going very well. I've been trying to get with the old crew so we can get some pictures in and get a good workout. And actually segue straight to the guys we're talking to, because we've been trying to set up with the ladies of the group that seem to be basically putting their makeup on as they prepare. So we've been put on hold, but eventually that day will happen. And, I know we had a great show on Tuesday, and I know everything went well, but sometimes the people feel we're not answering the questions as they're asking them, and we are not forgetting. So Des, before we get too deep into the show, I'll let you respond to the one that people thought we missed, and we did not.
Yes, and Sarah, we did not forget you. I did not forget you. You had a question about some early comments that I made regarding my son getting ready to graduate from high school this weekend, and that he had lost 20 pounds over the past several months. And you wanted to know what was it, I'm probably paraphrasing now, but what was it that I did to help him lose that 20 pounds? And to be quite honest, I didn't do a darn thing. I really didn't. My son and I love him dearly. We get along great, but he very much likes to do things on his own. He's very independent. He likes to learn on his own. So the biggest thing that I probably did for him in that process was to be an example for him. My son has been heavier for a lot of his life, and he's wanted to change for several years, but he never had the focus or the determination to really get it done. And so, you know, I would always invite him to come work out with me, even at his younger ages. I would try to keep foods in the house that would be better for him to eat. And beyond that, you know, one day it just clicked. And then finally he started accepting my invitation to come to the gym. And even then, you know, I wasn't helping him with his workouts. He was just kind of doing his own thing. But anytime he wanted to go to the gym, you know, you better believe I was going to say yes to him, even though it meant that my workout was probably going to suffer, because it was either going to be short or it wasn't going to be in an area that I particularly wanted to work on that night. But if he wanted a spot and wanted to work chess, then I guess we were going to work chess. So that's kind of how it went. And then, you know, I would just go back to the gym later and do what I need to do. So it was just pretty much just being there. And, you know, he kind of was his own motivation. I mean, I just kept doing my thing and, you know, just made myself accessible to him to have conversations. And when he had questions, I was there to answer them. But I never tried to really push anything on him because it would have just backfired on me. So in this instance, you know, Amistad was his own driver, and the more results that he's gotten, that's what's been his main motivating factor. Plus, I think, you know, probably girls, a girl in particular, probably didn't hurt that area either. So, but that's kind of how, you know, it works. But, you know, I'm rambling now, so I'll just cut it short in that, you know, the best thing that I did for my son, and I think that I do for my children, is just to be an example and be consistent in the things that I do, because they're watching what I do, and even if they might fuss about the way I cook, about the way I eat, this, that, or the next thing, they understand it, and, you know, they eventually come around to adopting things to their own, you know, as far as lifestyle habits. So that's that story in a nutshell, and that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we've actually got not one guest tonight, but we've got three guests tonight. And it is a family affair. And Kaylin, why don't you tell us more about who we have and what we're going to be talking about?
It's a family affair.
You're all about the singing tonight.
Oh, yes. I'm feeling good tonight. Hey, let me tell you. But anyway. I've actually got to know these guys over the years, and it's just been a joy and a lot of fun because they really came with that natural energy, that natural motivation, and that natural attitude that basically says they would be perfect for the natural community and the stage because they really wanted to improve in a way that wasn't self-destructive. And I know that might sound crazy, but it's the honest truth, and, you know, Des and I have seen this a lot, and, you know, it might sound a little bit weird that people want to have an appearance of health but not really be healthy-minded or healthy in a stance where everything improves. It's basically done with the intent of not being sustainable. They just don't know it yet, and we've seen it time and time again. So when you see somebody in the gym doing the work and working really hard, and, you know, going at it, but with the aspect of I want to improve and I want to get better. And it's not because I want to look like this or I want to get this or somebody needs to do this so when I win this. It was always the aspect of true health. You know, I want to be a representation for the next generation. I mean, that all those things are basically green lights. These are perfect candidates to be stepping on stage, competing, and enjoying it, because I can't imagine playing a sport where I hate. I can't imagine going to a job where I hate. I can't imagine being in a relationship where I hate. I just don't get that. But there are people out there that since they don't know any better, this is what they think is normal, and they go about that normal lifestyle, even though it's not normal for life or society. Calvin and his sons, well, actually I met Calvin and Sam early, and I got to meet CJ a little bit later, but they were in there and they were doing work and they were putting it in and putting it down, and they had they had that goal in mind of stepping on stage, and it was just such a joy to be around that. And when they asked questions, they weren't self-destructive in their questions, like, I know I can't look like you or I know I can't do this. They were like, yeah, we're going to beat you on stage and we're going to step on stage and just kick your butt. So, you know, that's competition. That's what you want to hear. But it's also that self-fulfilling thing that keeps the motivation going. So to hear it was just so enlightening and so good to hear and so healthy, because they weren't saying negative things to go about doing it. They were just basically pushing and finding new ways to stay motivated and stay elevated to keep going. And I'll pass it over to them, and then they'll introduce herself. I'll start with it's got to be Father first. Father's Day coming up, so we got to do that. So it's got to be Dad, and then he can introduce sons, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, yeah. What's up, big brother?
What's up, man?
Well, I just got one question, though. When did you become Australian on us? I'm just saying. Well, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Desiree, for having myself and the boys on the talk show. It's such an honor to be able to have that hard work that we've felt that we put in recognized by, you know, we're a small community, but to be recognized means so much. And it is it's a driving force for us to continue on. But before I start to ramble, I am Calvin Lee. Currently, I work as a instructor at a local high school, 20 years retired from the military. Love working out. Been working out since, well, since my boys were born. That was my motivation right there. And they've always seen me doing it. And now it's just become something that we love to do. So, like I said, I'm going to take a back seat for a minute, let the boys talk.
Okay, so this is Sam Lee here, the youngest son. I graduated in 2014, trying to go back to school, but really been listing to be a better bodybuilder for the past 2 years, and just love gaining weight and trying to be bigger than my dad.
Oh, wow. Thanks for that, man.
Yeah.
And you got Calvin Lee Jr. over here. I compete in men's physique novice division, and I graduated high school in 2013. That's really about it.
That's us. Gym rat.
Well, there you go. So Calvin Sr. So I'm newer to you, so this question is probably going to seem silly, but you're a bodybuilder. You compete in the bodybuilding category, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and how long have you been a competitor, and what's your status?
You know, to be honest with you, my first competition, like I said, was way in 1998. And this was after my boys were born, and I just had a friend. Back then, I only weighed about 154 pounds, and he noticed the shape. Yeah, he noticed the shape, and he said that he thought I'd look good on stage, and I just went with it. Didn't buy any posing trunks, just went out there, and whatever I had, no spray tan, nothing, and just tried to show off my muscle. But it stuck with me, and it was something that stuck with me, and I wanted to keep going with it. Unfortunately, I didn't compete again until 2012, locally here in Chicago. And then in 2016, when my son said that he wanted to step on stage, oh, that was lights out right there. There was no way that I was going to deny him an opportunity to stand on stage with me. So we did it, and we had to come back this year. During the 2016 year in the men's masters, I did earn my pro card. However, I took a step back this year, and I wanted to improve myself in the novice. My son, again, he challenged me. So he was like, you know, you only did a half of a diet last year. Let's see how you look with a complete cycle. And we did it together. And, yeah, I took the overall in the men's novice.
Uh-oh. There's something that's going to have to, you're going to have our listeners throwing all kind of red flags. You're already getting alerts and messages. Now, when you say cycle, you're talking about food. All right, let's make sure we got that clear.
I'm sorry, say it again because I missed that part.
Well, when you said you got a complete cycle now.
I'm sorry.
Clear. Yeah.
What I meant, and trust me there, nothing synthetic going in this body. That I just put that out there right now. What we did was we took and kind of experimented with dieting. My first show in 2016 was only based off of 4 weeks worth of dieting, 4 to 5 weeks of dieting. This competition, we actually did a full 16 weeks of dieting, and this is not low carb, but really a no carb type of format. For 16 weeks to get as shredded as possible. So, but this year I took the men's novice, first place tall and overall, and second in the men's masters, 40-49, and then a third in the men's open. Those are the two categories I'm coming back to take eventually.
Okay, I heard that.
Very nice.
That's me. That's
very
me.
Nice.
I heard that.
So I have a question then, and I'm going to direct this to Sam and CJ, Carl Jr. So you've watched your dad all these years, and you saw that he was competing. You know, what was it about, was it seeing him that drew you guys into the sport? Or, you know, because sometimes kids watch their parents and they, like, go the opposite direction. But you guys have all gravitated in the same direction. So what got you guys interested in natural bodybuilding? And, Sam, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to CJ. And then let me know kind of who started first. Did both brothers jump in at the same time, or did one lead the other? Or how did that all play out?
Well, I'll start by saying I was the one that started first. But
okay, and
no,
who are you?
Really,
I don't.
Is
this
I'm
Sam
family.
Or is this CJ?
Sam.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Sam. But yeah, when he was on stage, he just had this presence with him. It was actually really magical. I never really saw his 1998 performance, but his 2012. Stage performance was just something that really stuck with me, and we used to watch like the Olympia and all sorts of bodybuilding. I used to do a lot of sports, but I never really got the feel of building muscle as much as people who bodybuild. And ever since I went to the gym and I try to actually build muscle, and then I see people competing and remembering my dad competing on stage, I was like, I actually want that. I want to do something that can change me more mentally than physically. And some people just don't know that bodybuilding, yes, it changes your body, but it can definitely improve your mental state too.
That's my boy.
Very nice. Yeah. And BJ, how about you?
Well, as my brother said, he was the one that jumped on the bandwagon first. But really, I didn't really start wanting to really get into bodybuilding, or at least for me it would be physique competitions, until I saw my brother and my dad side by side on stage at the 2016 competition. And like seeing that and how everyone was coming up to me and telling them how great they looked on stage and how pretty much they were the buzz of the competition. I was like, well, let me see what I can do, or at least push myself to do, so that way I can pretty much be able to resonate that glow with them. And we got into the gym a year prior to this 2016 competition and 2017? Yeah, 2017 competition. And just stuck with it, and that's really about it. I mean, that they were pretty much the driving force to me wanting to compete and keep going with it. So
Junior's the pretty boy.
Yeah. There always has to be one in the family.
You know, that's our biggest thing. We're highly competitive, but we understand each other's how do you say, the high points,
individualities.
Thank you, son. You know, my goal is to stay natural, get as large as I can. Sam and I share a common mindset that it's not about being super pretty, but I want to make you say, oh no, what, how did you do that? You know, in
it doesn't
a natural
have to
format.
Be pretty.
It doesn't have to be pretty. No, that's the thing. But with Junior, his mindset is that lean look, that super athletic. you know, how hard can I make myself look all the time, because he's more of that model type of individual, you know. He's the pretty boy. He's been told he's cute since he was knee-high to an ant.
Oh, here we go.
I'm serious, but I love that about him.
I always wanted a family.
I love that about him, though, because I'll be honest with you. As he was coming up, he carried such a shy personality. And to see him standing on stage, just like it was with Sam, it inspired me that much more to see him come out of that shell and allow himself to be exposed to the world. I love that about my boys, that they are willing to, if they see me do it, they know I wouldn't put them in harm's way, and they're willing to take a chance. That means the world to me.
So that's awesome. And so if I'm understanding this right, and Leslie has the same question, but it seems like that Sam approached you and asked you to compete with him on stage, or did you see that he had an interest and you asked him to step on stage with you?
Sam, you want to take this since you beat my butt that same year?
Yeah, I'll take this one. I was working out at a different gym, and I saw posters about the Chi-Town Showdown. And my friend was like, I should do this and see how it goes. And I was like, nah. But the more I thought about it, I was like, damn, my dad was a bodybuilder. So I went to him, and that's when I was like, hey, we should do this. A little off-putting, but he actually came out and actually helped me get me in shape. But I only dieted for maybe a week, and I beat him.
Come on now. You ain't got to bring up old stuff, son. You ain't got to bring up old stuff.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty amazing.
My metabolism's way too fast, but how we dieted was completely different that year compared to this year. But I would say I want to do it like that next time. But yeah, I went to him for that competition. It was a good competition.
It sounds like it was. Yeah. And so this is kind of a segue into the next question. Dale, who has been working out and has seen families that fight more than they work out, and he wants to know how the three of you work together to keep that from happening.
One of you guys want to put this in, or you want me to take a stab at it? Or let me say this, and then I'll turn it over to them.
Okay.
It would be wrong of me to say that, you know, we don't have those days where a certain movement or an idea of what we want to work on a certain day is not beneficial to everyone. So we still go through the same family problems. However, when it comes to building and communicating, we find a way to get past that. You know,
yes.
If I'm having a hard time with a movement, then, okay, I'll do my best. And they'll continue to work as heavy as they can. But we're always there supporting. The arguing and stuff, man, we've been together since, I mean, I've never been away from my boys, except for when I went to Iraq and Afghanistan. That was the only time. Every other moment of their life, I've been there with them. And I think that plays a big role. But I'm going to let them talk, because that's just my view of why we can do that.
Family here. It's me and my family, we sometimes go into the gym at different times. But the thing is, we'll approach each other even if we're doing different body parts each day. Like, if I'm doing legs and my dad's doing chest, I'll still say, hey, I'm here. If you need me, you can come to me. And sometimes we actually jump into each other's sets, like, hey, can I do this with you and that? But I'm not expecting him to be there as much. So, yeah, we communicate, but we don't stay with each other as much. We let each other do our own thing, because when you go to the gym, you're there to lift weights. You're not supposed to be fighting with each other. It's just
exactly.
You're there to work.
Get that work.
So
if money.
You need space, then just give yourself some space.
What do you guys want to say, someone?
I mean, I don't really have much to say since you guys really ate most of the conversation up.
Smile for us. Just smile.
We're
going to
start with you next time, TJ. We're going to start with you next time.
Put him out in front for a little bit. That's my shy guy. Put him out in front.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm all I have to really say is, like my father said, he's been pretty much by our side ever since we were knee-high. And then when it comes to me and my brother, we grew up
fighting.
We basically grew up fighting each other, but like, but not really like
competitive nature.
Oh, we had
in a competitive nature.
It wasn't destructive.
Not at all. But because of the fact that we grew up doing sports together, we used to do basketball together, wrestling, track, pretty much any sport under the sun together. And when it comes to working out, we still carry that competitive mentality into the gym whenever we do get a chance to work out together. And also, like, we also at the same time, we give each other that support. Like, if we can't lift a certain weight, we'll talk and be like, hey, we'll drop it down so that way you can get in a good workout. And that's really just how it's been, and ever since we've been in the gym together.
The biggest strength that we have are those moments where we can all, with work schedules and things like that, be able to come together and have a session where there's actually the three of us. Oh, that's when it gets vicious. Caleb, my boy has went from like 170 to 190 now. You don't think we're bringing something new to the stage? Woo! Get ready. I'm telling you.
Be waiting.
Every year is going to be a new look.
I'll definitely be waiting. And I know you guys are putting in the work. And, you know, I enjoy it a lot because, you know, that family dynamic is really important. And that was one of the things when I first entered the 5-star building that I, you know, I prayed about and I asked God, you know, like if it was his will that we could have a more family atmosphere, because the one thing I understood is that Planet Fitness exists for a reason. And it's because jerks run regular members out because they're just being jerks and nobody basically holds them accountable. But when you have the atmosphere of family, then more people can hold them accountable and keep places like that from existing, and basically where society can interact with society how it should, not basically be segregated into submission. And you guys are like the best platform for that, the best foundation, because, you know, you didn't have that atmosphere. It was more to the point of, you know, I'm over here, you're over there, and click here, click there, but it wasn't any that meshing that we need in society, that meshing that we need at work, that meshing that we need in a gym. Everything should basically be able to coexist, everyone, even if you don't like the workout. You should respect their time. If you don't like their attitude, you should respect their presence. I mean, the respect factor has to happen, and a lot of it doesn't happen because you don't have the children that were raised by their mothers. You don't have the children that were raised by the dad. You just have people that were basically brought up in front of a television, and hopefully society can deal with them. But when you have the family dynamic, even though people don't admit they're watching, they're watching. And to watch you guys interact and see that family dynamic and watch it work in a positive fashion, it really makes a difference for the atmosphere for everybody that's walking through those doors. And that's where I appreciate it, and that's why I latched on to you guys so well, because I could see it a mile away, and I did enjoy it.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. They're up in here throwing thumbs up and everything. It's a good moment, you know, to hear that again. And just to echo that, it was something that really brought us in when we saw the gym community embrace us as they saw us training together. You know, because we, like I said, we're a new family, just got into the gym. And, oh, by the way, yes, I do have a little one. She's 2 years old. She's going to be a monster, too. Women's physique, just wait. about 17 more years, she's going to be a monster. All right, she's coming. But, you know, the community and that support all the way up to this show on May 13th, it was so motivating, you know, and that was really the driving force. Like I said, my son, CJ, he was so introverted for a while, you know, but when that bug hit him, I mean, we've always had weight sets in the house. For, like I said, moving in the military, I always had something there. But when that bug finally bit him and he saw his body start to transform, I mean, we would spend hours just here at home, you know, well, what about this pose or what do I need to do with that? You know, we've still got some work to do in that aspect for all of us. But to see that was the new environment that we've created, and to have the community embrace it when we're in the gym and we're posing, that to me is growth for the sport as a whole, not just for us as a family. But you hear so much about the stigmas that are tied to being a bodybuilder or a fitness individual.
Yes.
And to have people take that and make themselves a part of your life, that I don't even know what to say about it. I'm overwhelmed.
No, it is a beautiful thing. And I love the fact that you brought up about your two-year-old, because I think that is exciting in and of itself. And actually, one of our listeners, Sam, wanted to know if you had any daughters and if you would have a problem with her having muscles. But it's clear that you don't.
No.
She's not going to just have little muscles. She's going to be up there with big muscles in the physique category or bodybuilding.
You know what the biggest thing is, Desiree? I think that for some people, the idea or the perception is a vision of roughness or masculinity for all, you know. But women can build muscle that is absolutely beautiful. And in most ways,
yes,
it's even more beautiful than what a man can put together, you know. It just has to be within the illusion of your body, if that makes sense. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. But when you exploit those strengths by improving those weaknesses, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's an illusion. So, yeah.
Well,
I can preach and go on all the time, but I'm going to turn it over to the boys because I'll talk all day.
All right. Well, the next one, and CJ, this one is for you first. So, and it's probably a little different than what you're expecting, but our listener Sally wants to know how your mom feels about all of this, about all the men in her household being bodybuilders. How's that dynamic been? He's saying, "Why me? Why am I the first one on this one?"
That's a good question.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. I would have to say, I mean, she's accepting of it, but at the same time, she likes to push our buttons when it comes to dieting. Like you know how when like you have something that someone wants to eat and you're just like eating it in the face and like, yeah, you can't have any, but I can. But it's kind of like that. But at the same time, she's very accepting of it. And then also at the same time, she helps us with our poses and making sure that we stay on track with what we have to do. And it's ultimately she also helps us with our meal preps and just making sure that we do what we need to do in order to do our best for just going out throughout our days or for a competition. And that's all I really have to say.
Awesome. So
yeah, she does well.
Sam,
I don't know how she feels about having
all
three of her men on stage fully exposed, but you know, and that's the reality that she would have to be able to come to grips with for the most part. You know, her guys are on stage. I mean, basically exposed to everybody. So for her to be able to sit there and be a part of that with us, and to watch us when we're posing and tell us, you know what, you need to lose that midsection. You know, to be that honest and that candid with us, she's a great aspect to the team as well.
Amen.
And so, I mean, and I can totally appreciate that perspective. I mean, as a mother and a wife looking at her men on stage, but then also as a mother bringing her kids to a competition, because I've all three of my kids, I have two girls and a boy, and, you know, in bringing my girls to see me compete, you know, I very much had this sense of empowerment for them. I wasn't as worried about how they would perceive what I was doing, because, you know, I wanted them to see that women can get up on stage and have muscle and be beautiful and be confident and do all of these things. But when my son came to watch me for the first time, you know, the main thought in my head is like, oh my gosh, what is he going to think with his mother up on stage in a posing suit? So, you know, I totally get that aspect of it. But Sam, what I wanted to ask you is, how important is it to you when your mom is in the stands cheering for you, supporting you guys in your sport of choice? I mean, that's got to feel great.
Wow. It means everything to me. My mom is literally my biggest critique. When I would be hungry, she'd be like, okay, you need to go eat. When I'm just eating, she'll be like, okay, you need to stop. She was always there for me. And the last competition, the 2017 Chi-Town Showdown, was the first one that she actually was able to go to. And just to know that she was in the stages made me flex harder. It made me want to push myself. It made me less worried about the competition, and I wanted to do better for me. But in my other sports, yeah, she was always there for me, and she made me want to work harder. That's my mom, you know?
Yeah.
So to say that it means a lot to me is really an understatement.
Well, I know, me too. I'm tearing up.
Oh.
I'm tearing up. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on. Senior,
no.
Senior, this question is for you. Brett wants to know if your wants to know what your military branch is, and if that played a role in your need to stay in shape.
Oh, that's for me, right, Calvin Senior?
That's for you. Yep, that's for you.
Oh, okay. I mean, you said Calvin Jr., so I'm like, okay, when did he join the military?
Did I say Jr.? I meant to say Senior. I thought I said Senior, so my bad.
All that time, I thought I was there, and I'd have missed the whole life cycle. No, but, well, I actually served 20 years and 16 days in the United States Army. And, you know, truthfully, the Army, I believe, allows me that discipline because, I mean, if I were to sit here and tell you the stories leading up to me enlisting in the Army, you'd be like, wow, you know, how did this guy even make it? But I think that all of a sudden being thrown into that structure and, you know, being able to take my athleticism to another level, you know, I was competing with guys from around the country now that I didn't even know for this little medal saying that I was the best physically fit in the whole company. So that I kind of use that as a gauge. And yeah, it did kind of play into the mental when we would be at events and we'd be in our little shirts and you'd hear the people like, wow, you know. And like I said, I was only 154 pounds back then. So in that time growing, you know, the military definitely played a role in that. Just meeting different people and always wanting to be the best. You have to challenge yourself because there's always somebody out there that's better than you. But what are you going to do to make sure that you don't stagnate and stay in one spot? I never wanted to stay in one spot. So I do contribute a lot of that to the military.
Very nice. All right, Senior, this next question is for you also, so we're sticking with you
a
second.
Rapid fire.
Okay. All right.
Linda wants to know, okay, so all three of you were in the 2017 Chi-Town Showdown, and Kaylin and I were both there also. Linda wants to know which felt better for you, Senior, you know, hearing your name called in the top five or hearing your sons announced as placing in the top five?
You know what? And that I tell everyone this, actually, just to go back to a moment in the competition. When my son and I were standing on stage next to each other, this is for the first place tall and the novice. The announcer said, he was talking to my wife at this time, you know, which one will it be? Will it be Sam or will it be Calvin? And he was like, will you go home proud for your husband or proud for your son? And I looked at him and I said, proud either way. I will always put my kids first. And hearing his name ahead of mine the year previous, again, that was one of the happiest moments of my life. Aside from their birth, always seeing them achieve the best that they can be will go ahead of anything that I can accomplish. So that's my mindset. As long as their best is put front and center, that's I've done my job. I don't need anything else. I've got them.
Amen.
We're a real tight-knit family. Like I said, we've got our problems and our issues just like any other family. But at the end of the day, we understand and realize that we're all we got. And I don't think any of us will ever let that go.
Yeah, well, that's my whole point about when I added about the destructive part, because it's just not there. It's not present. Because the goal is for, all, you know, a dad basically wanting his children to succeed and children wanting to be successful. And it's usually very hard to find negativity when you have that kind of atmosphere and arena. So, you know, it's nice to hear it. I mean, like it's one thing to see it, and, you know, but there's a lot of fake out there. You know, there's a lot of things talking about fake. And, you know, but the thing that I love is what your son had said prior to that. And when he was talking about how, for the mom, you know, because it's like I've played a lot of sports in my life, and the thing that I could always distinguish was my dad's voice and all the hoopla and craziness, and just to hear his voice, nothing else really mattered. And, I, you know, people were talking about, you know, all these things and all these accolades, and I'm thinking, well, what good is that if dad ain't there, you know? And they were like, well, man, you're not thinking right. And I'm thinking, that's the only way I can think. Because, you know, if somebody creates in you that motivation, what better thank you can you give them than by showing them it was worth it? And, you know, I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. And it's nothing new for the people that live around here, but it might be new to the listeners. Whenever I won or placed at a show, I never took those trophies home. I gave them to the pastor that basically created that motivation and that will to achieve and do better. You know, because my dad had passed on when I started competing. So all I had left was my godfather. I never took anything back with myself. I always gave it to him basically to tell him thank you. And, you know, to hear Sam say that, you know, about his mom, I get that, and I know there's a lot of kids that are listening that are adults now that truly understand where he's coming from because, you know, there's somebody that creates you. You learn to be you, but there's somebody that poured into you to become that person. And, you know, that's what I love about the family dynamic that interacts well together because, like I said, there's so many people that didn't have that in their upbringing, and they have bitterness, they have anger, and there's a lot of frustration that basically is their motivation, but it's not a sustainable way to go. And that's why they fall to the wayside or don't finish, you know, the prep or the goal of getting on stage. There's so many things that inhibit them because they basically don't have the right kind of drive. It's almost like I tell people when they put nitric oxide in an engine, it's going to run great. Man, you're going to be burning up the road. But sooner or later, that engine's going to burn out because you didn't use the right fuel. And that's where we are in the natural community because, you know, natural athletes have to basically build from the inside out. There's no drug from the outside in. So if we don't find that success from the inside, then we simply won't be successful. So I'll pass that to Dad, and he can basically talk about the dynamic and how it really feels good for him to watch his son succeed. And we can go to the children, and they can talk about, you know, what it means to have a dad that really wants them to be successful.
Well, you know, my biggest thing is I love the way you say, as a natural bodybuilder, we have to start from the inside out. And there's one thing that I've always put forth with my sons, even me as their father. I humble myself to them when we're in the gym because they teach me as well. I never overspeak them. I allow that if they have a technique or a way of doing things that may improve the exercise, then I listen, and they do the same for me. So being able to communicate on a level of humbleness creates an environment of cohesion as well. And that's something that we really strive for. Even when we're taking our little videos, showing off or whatever, you know, we're always focused on doing things right. But just to kind of talk about what you mean with me seeing my son succeed, there was a joke for CJ. He said, well, what if I go out and on my first show, you know, I take first place in overall? I was like, well, son, you know, that's nice. I mean, you know, I'd be really impressed if you did that. And dang nabbit if you didn't do it. Backstage, I wish I would have been out in front, but I was backstage and I almost passed out because I was like, he did it. He spoke it. He did the work, and he made it happen. That I just can't. I can't say any more than if I could have jumped through the roof, I would have been there. And with Sam, just having him stand next to me, knowing that his goal is to be larger than I am, I'm kind of scared now because it's pretty close. but to have him standing there and to see the similarities in his physique and mine, I'm like, wow, my son is growing, and he wants to keep going. He wants to succeed in areas that he's seen me start and take it beyond what I was able to do. I'll be there for him every step of the way, and that's with both of them. So I'm a happy big bear. That's what they call me. They call me Big Bear, and I'm happy.
You can go. Okay, I guess I'll go. Seeing my dad and all that, like, he, again, I have to say it, he was there for us through pretty much everything. When me and my brother used to wrestle at our old high school, he would be on the side of the mat helping me and my brother warm up and, like, making sure we were ready to go wrestle. And the fact that we were able to carry that bond through our workouts and leading into the competition, it was great. Like, I felt like as if I was, like, I could do anything. Like, you can put a 100-pound dumbbell in front of me, and I would be able to pick it up because I had my father next to me. I had him to support me and push me through everything.
Wow.
And to reiterate to the little joke that that my dad brought up, when that happened, I was extremely happy because, like he said, I put in the work and all that, but at the same time, I wasn't alone in putting in that work. I had my father, I had my brother, both walking into the gym with me, making sure that we were doing our hardest. And when I was presented the reward, the only thing that I could really think about was I got to get my father on stage and take a picture with him because of the fact that he was the driving force as to me doing what I needed to do. And
I'm gonna cry again.
And when that happened, I saw my brother sneak on stage. I literally almost started crying because of the fact that I had 2/3 of the supporting members of what I of what I am now loving to do, and that's competing. So that's really, I'm going to pass it on to my brother.
Yeah, being successful is pretty good. don't let my dad know, but if I was going to lose to anyone, I'm glad it was him. It was, I am part of him, and to know that he's the one that beats me just proves to myself that one day, if not maybe tomorrow, I could be the number one. I could be great, and to be successful is a small mark of, it's a small goal for what I really want to do. It's to change everything about me, and if I can change the world. So this is just a small step into my future, I guess you can say. So yeah.
Aww,
that's all I got to say.
How could you go along with two young men like that? I'm telling you, I'm blessed knowing the things that they could have gotten into, and they chose to stay close to me and experience those things in life that are productive rather than destructive. That means the world to me.
It does. As a parent, it is just so, so very important. Okay, guys, as much as I love listening to all of you, all are so well-spoken. Senior, you should be very proud, and Mrs. Senior should be also, very much so. So we've got some questions I'm going to try and squeeze in because we're running out of time. We've got less than 10 minutes. But quickly, Charles wants to know what you guys have planned in the future.
Future. As of right now, my brother plans on doing this Chi-Town Showdown again.
For sure.
You were going to do the
Windy City?
Ready to lose. Kaylin, I'm telling you. He's bringing it. He's bringing it. Don't get him started. Hey. But you weren't going to do the Windy City?
I mean, we'll be...
We're in talks because we like to work as a team. Possibly... two competitions starting next year, simply because we have a wedding. Their cousin and my niece is being married in Punta Cana in August. So we're going to leave and be there for about 10 days. And we're just going to be just, normal people for a while. We're going to eat whatever we want to eat and just enjoy that time. So, but once we come back from that, our focus is definitely going to be on the springtime, summertime competitions, one or two. Definitely the Chi-Town Showdown. Love Joe and Heather. They do a great job with their show. But we're in discussions about the Windy City. I don't know, Junior, you wanted to try another. What was that one?
But that's all the way on Duluth.
I can't remember.
The Mayhem?
Oh, the Mayhem?
Minnesota
I think
Mayhem?
That's the Mayhem. The Mayhem.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That's the one.
Yep, sure did. Yep.
But
very good.
We want to stay active. I don't want to say that the clock is winding down for Big Bear, but I'll be 45 in July.
You poor thing. Let me get
your back. Chicken.
Hey. You know, a lot of people say that. You know, you're only 45. You're still. You know. You look young, but my thing is I feel that I can sit back because that success that I feel now is not for me, but it's in seeing my son's achievement. I feel like I've accomplished those things that I wanted to do, you know, and now to have that availability to see them carry on, again, and not be destructive means a lot. Sam, you got something?
You know, just my future is just to get huge as possible, just massive. It's going to be beautiful. So beautiful.
Like I said, he wants
to
be a monster.
As long as you do it naturally, you get no complaints from me.
Well, there you go.
You know that's the only way to be.
You
if I can end that way, you know what? I have to bring up a point where there was really a bonding moment for Kaylin and I. I had expressed a sentiment that, you know what, I don't have it, but if I were in a circle where I could have an opportunity to be enhanced, I don't know if I would deny it. And he told me, why would you say something like that? You know, he told me, you have the platform to change things because of who you are, not because of what you put in your body. And he's like, he basically cut me off and chastised me for about an hour because I even made that statement. But that was so profound for me at my age to have somebody, again, see the ethics that I try to put forth and what I have available, and to say you don't need anything else. And to have my son standing next to me and hear the same thing, I'm telling you, he took it and ran with him. So I appreciate you, big brother.
Always, my man. Always.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I would not.
All right, guys. Amen. Thanks. To that. So last two questions have to do with Mrs. Lee here. So I hope you guys, you're going to have to speak on her behalf. But Linda wants to know if you guys think she'll ever get the bug to compete.
Oh, that is such a – hey, we can all try. You know, we actually talked about that after the show.
Yeah, that is very true.
She's
all just right, a
so
very, very shy person. She is extremely shy.
It wasn't the sun?
Yes. I was surprised that she actually spoke to the commentator at the show. Oh, by the way, my baby was the one that was singing the national anthem with the actual performer, too. Yeah, nice and loud for her. So if y'all missed her, check her out on the film. You can hear her. But we definitely threw that bug in her ear. And right now, she's preparing for Punta Cana. So we're hoping that we can
get
her.
Well, that might be the springboard. Yeah, nice. Okay.
There you go.
There you go. Well, tell her I want to see her. Tell her I want to see her. So, you know, she's got people expecting now. Okay, last question.
We don't want to steal the whole show. The whole Lee family on stage. That would be.
Hey,
oh, that'd be monstrous.
That would be something
some
to see. Yeah, that would be something to see.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I would love to see that. Mom, dad, and the boys. I would love to see that. Steal the whole show. Do it. In fact, I dare you. Tell her that.
Oh,
do
that
it.
Like
Magnetic's
magazine cover right there.
You know, we from a
that
challenge.
Would be a magazine
there,
cover
right
there.
Oh, that's right.
All right. It's right.
All right, guys, last question. I'm going to squeeze this in. We got 2 minutes. Let's do it. So
okay.
Carla wants to know if you guys dieting ever made Mrs. Lee feel out of place with so many fit people in the home.
Honestly,
I guess assuming she wasn't fit, but we're going to say that she is. So go ahead.
She, you could kind of tell that she was out of place because she didn't want to be too overly aggressive, but she was eating anything she wanted in front of us. She didn't give it a second thought. She was just eating and eating, but she actually calmed down too sometimes when she knew that we were really hungry. She'd be like, okay, let's eat some chicken, let's do this, let's have a salad. She was very supportive, but I wouldn't say she felt out of place. She knew that she was with us, though.
You might want to put in there, Sam, that we don't really eat dirty anyways. If everybody knows what that means, dirty is just putting anything that you want in your mouth. We typically try to eat pretty clean. So, you know, she always had that availability to her. And she knew that as we're dieting, no carbs, if she's hungry, she'll wait until maybe we go to the gym. But we couldn't deny. That would be wrong of us to deny her having a sensible meal just because we're
Good point.
In a deficit right now. You know, so we never put that on her. But she tried so hard. There are times when we're sitting up in between meals. And I can tell she's hungry because she'll just be focused on her little show. And I'd be like, babe, just grab something to eat. Go ahead. We're fine. And then slowly but surely she'd muster up the energy to go ahead and do it. But she was in a timid fashion. But she got it in. So can't be mad at her.
Oh, there you go. My God.
Not really.
Family
no.
affair to the end.
Always.
All right.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
yeah,
guys, it has been awesome. I've loved having you every minute. Kaylin, any last thoughts?
Hey, I have to see you guys at the gym.
Coming to get work, hard work. You know how we do, Kaylin.
There you go.
Get me excited if you want to.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for joining us. Hey, listening fam, real quick, we've had a great night of Family Affair here. We are going to be continuing that on next week. I don't know how this is going to go, but Kaylin's mom and my mom are going to be joining us on the Tuesday show. So I think that
Ooh,
has promised to be all kinds of special. All kinds of special. So, again,
hey,
Lee family, thank you so much. Oh, tell me about it. I don't even know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. But on behalf of myself, Kaylin, the Lees, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.